Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, IMF economist Claudio Radetz on the potential impact of rising house prices on global financial stability.
A high share of financial crises in recent decades have been preceded by boom-bust patterns in the housing sector, so there is a very clear, strong association.
There is indeed a strong link between the ups and downs of home prices around the world and the global economy. And the IMF's latest Global Financial Stability Report takes a deep look into what the latest trends in the housing sector might tell us about vulnerabilities within the financial system. Claudio Radetz leads the IMF's Global Financial Stability Analysis Team. He says the housing market is something they've been keeping a close eye on in recent years.
So in our neighborhood, we all love to talk about house prices, but the housing market is much broader than that. How much does the housing sector contribute to the global economy?
Well, data on the contribution of the housing sector to the economy is not available for every country in the world, so it's difficult to have a global measure. But for those countries where we do have information, we find it is very important. For instance, in the U.S. and in the euro area, housing-related activities correspond to about one-sixth of GDP.
One-sixth of GDP, that's very significant.
And in emerging markets, it's also high. For instance, in China, it's a bit higher, even though the figures are not fully comparable with the ones that we have for the U.S. and Europe. But it's important. It's around that order of magnitude, one-sixth to 20%.
And there's also, it's not only house prices, right? In the housing sector, there's a lot of associated businesses, right?
Exactly. When you think about the housing sector, you need to think about the consumption of housing services, so the value of the services you get from using your home, also the construction activity related to housing, and the ancillary services like financial services, real estate services, all of that falls into the measurement of the contribution of housing to the economy, to real activity.
Hmm. And so what is it about the dynamics of the housing sector these days that has compelled you to focus on it in this Global Financial Stability Report?
We have been looking at housing and household-related issues for some time, so this is not just now that we have an interest on the issue. We released research on the role of household debt a couple of years ago in 2017, where we looked at the relationship between household debt, mortgages, house prices, and how this affected financial stability. 1 year ago in April, we also had a chapter looking at the synchronization of house prices across different countries and cities in the world. And now we follow up with this analysis of downside risks to house prices. So this is part of a longer-term interest in the developments in the housing sector that we have had here in the fund. Now, the reasons for this interest are multiple. I think that an important reason is the lessons that we got from the global financial crisis, which was a powerful reminder that events taking place in the housing sector can affect and have important consequences for the real economy. The second is the trends that we have seen in house prices in many countries and cities in recent years. We have seen house prices increasing simultaneously in advanced economies and emerging market economies in the last 5 years. And this has also raised some concerns in policy authorities in some of these countries about the potential consequences that these increases may have for valuation pressures, and also for potential declines in house prices. So if you put all of this together, it's really a good case for looking into this issue in more depth.
Hmm. And so how do you go about determining the level of risk in the housing sector?
Measuring risks is complex. So it boils down to trying to have an assessment of the odds of an event that may or may not happen in the future, no?
Right.
But having a sense of how likely a risky event is provides useful information and may lead you to take some preemptive action. Think, for instance, of medical exams or checking your cholesterol level. No, having a high cholesterol doesn't mean that you're going to have a heart attack, but it tells you that the risk that you have is higher. And if it is high enough, you may want to take some preemptive action, change your diet, do more exercise. And this is precisely what we're aiming to do here, to have a measure of risks that can be useful to take action, especially for policymakers. Now, how do we do it? We use fancy statistical techniques to try to map the current economic and financial conditions to a measure of the risk of a large house price decline in the future, in an horizon between 1 and 3 years ahead. And this toolkit that we develop in this research is very flexible. It can tell you what are the odds of declining house prices of a given size, or it can tell you how big a decline you can expect to observe with a given probability. So, for instance, how much can house prices fall in the next 3 years with a 5% probability? This is the measure that we're trying to compute here. It's our preferred measure, which we call house prices at risk.
Right. So a home is still essentially, for most people anyway, their biggest asset, where they hold most of their wealth. Is there anything in this report that might suggest that the equity that people have in their homes is more vulnerable than it has been in recent years?
What we find is that there have been changing patterns in downside risks, and it depends on the region and the countries. No? For instance, we see an increase in downside risks in emerging market economies in the last 10 years. So if we look at recent data compared to before the crisis, we do see a higher share of emerging markets in our sample that have risks that are similar or higher to those that we observe in the U.S. before the crisis. We have, I think, 30% of emerging markets in our economy, in our sample, that are under that category. In advanced economies, risks have somewhat declined, especially as a share of GDP. So there is some smaller share of advanced economies GDP that have higher levels of risks. Now, there is also variation across regions. We tend to find a higher increase in downside risks in the Asia-Pacific region. In Europe, risks are more or less similar now than before the crisis. But overall, we also see a rotation of risks. So where countries that face higher risks 10 years ago on average face lower risks now, and vice versa. But of course, there is variation across groups of countries, across regions, and also in time.
And so what have we learned? You mentioned earlier the global financial crisis. Obviously, housing was associated or had a role to play in that. What have we learned about the boom and bust patterns of house prices in the past?
We have learned that events in the housing sector are hugely important. As you mentioned, the global financial crisis was a painful reminder of that. And broadly speaking, research has documented that recessions that take place with a decline in house prices tend to be deeper, tend to last longer, and also that a high share of financial crises in recent decades have been preceded by boom-bust patterns in the housing sector. So there is a very clear, strong association. We look into this issue too in this chapter, and we do find that there is a strong correlation between higher risks in the housing sector and future risks to economic activity. So a higher downside risk to housing is a higher downside risk to GDP, to the economy. And we also find that higher downside risks to houses tend to be a good predictor of future financial crisis. So what we find is consistent with previous evidence and points out to the huge role that the housing sector plays in the real economy.
And so how does one mitigate some of the risks associated with these boom-bust episodes without discouraging people to actually continue to invest in the housing sector?
Policymakers have different types of tools to try to mitigate the risks to house prices. and the consequences that they may have for the real economy. In this analysis, we look at three types of tools. We look at so-called macroprudential policies, to traditional monetary policy, and to capital flow management measures. Now, the overall evidence tends to favor macroprudential policies, especially those that aim to set some prudential limits to the maximum amount of debt that households can afford as a share of the value of the home they are buying or as a share of their income. So these type of measures tend to be very effective in reducing downside risks to house prices, both across advanced and emerging market economies and at different horizons. So the evidence in their favor is relatively robust.
So this is essentially limiting the amount of credit that people would have access to in order to buy a home.
Exactly.
And would that not discourage them to invest in the housing market?
It is true that, you know, setting limits, some form of limits to the maximum amount of debt that households can carry may make it a bit harder to buy a house for some households. But there are two things to keep in mind. The first one is that I think it's in everyone's interest to have sustainable house purchases now, so to make sure that the households that are buying a house will be able to pay the debt in time and even under adverse conditions, I think is good for everyone, including the households. The second is that there are some measures that authorities have taken to mitigate this type of effects. For instance, in some countries, the limits depend on whether a household is a first-time purchaser or it's applying for its second or third mortgage. And some authorities have said no higher limits or for first-time purchases. And this helps deal with this effect on the access to housing.
So in the end, when I see houses in my neighborhood selling at high prices, should I feel good or should I be worried about that?
As economists always say, it depends. What our research indicates is that it depends on what are the factors driving the increase in home prices now. If home prices are rising fast and beyond what you would consider based on economic fundamentals like the growth of income of households or the rental prices of households in the same neighborhood, then you may think that there is a high risk of these prices to experience a correction in the future. Also, if this is taking place in an overall environment of rapidly expanding credit. You know? But overall, I think that if you look at the long-term history of house prices in advanced economies and emerging markets, you do see that, of course, on average, house prices have been growing, but it is possible to see declines in house prices and even large declines every so often. And this is something that has to be kept in mind when you buy a home, no? To be aware that the trends that you have seen in the past may not repeat in the future, and take that information into consideration.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Claudio Raddatz heads the Global Financial Stability Analysis Division in the IMF's Monetary and Capital Markets Department that publishes the Global Financial Stability Report twice a year. You can read the latest GFSR, as it's known, at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on your favorite podcast app. We're also now on Spotify. Just search for IMF Podcasts, and you can follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.